Well, we're going to continue in our Got Fruit message series. And you know, this message series, as I've said each week, is kind of great that it's come along the heels of Foundations. You know, we're now talking about, we've built this foundation all throughout the spring, and we've come off that message series, Who You Are, How You Know Jesus, all these different things. And now we're coming into this Got Fruit message series, and we're talking about maturity. Well, you've got a foundation, now how do we mature upon that foundation? And we talk about maturity, and we're talking about, you know, knowing what to do and actually do them. You know, that is, you know, you've heard probably all of us say something along that lines of, you know, we know certain things, but we don't always get a chance to do them. It's kind of like my kids at the dinner table. It's a pet peeve of ours. We have a, you know, a farmhouse table. It was built out of a literally like 1914 floor joists of a barn. And so it's not stained, it's just rough. It's just a really big old table. And I have three beautiful children, and I love them all dearly. But my three-year-old, he likes to take his greasy hands and just wipe them all over that table. And he likes to wipe them all over his shirt after he's done. Now, he knows better. We've told him 100 times, when you get through eating, you know, you don't, no, Judah, get a napkin. Get a napkin, Judah. And we tell him that, but does it happen? No. If you've got a three-year-old at home, you know, it does not happen. It's not going to happen. But we kind of give him the grace because he's not fully matured. Now, if my beautiful 14-year-old, if she gets through eating and she does this number, then we're gonna have a conversation. You know, we're gonna talk about it because I know you know better. But now at the same time, as I say that and I pick on her while she's sitting here on the front row, how many of you drive down the road eating that Big Mac and you wipe it on your shirt? That's me. That's me. I know to do better. I know I've got napkins in the center console. I have a three-year-old, so I have some wet wipes in the center console as well. I know I can clean my hands, but at the same time, that Big Mac sauce is just better on the side of my pants right there. We know to do better in these things. We know that we shouldn't do that. We know we're going to ruin our pants. We know we're going to ruin our shirts, but we do it anyway sometimes, and we're maturing. But we are maturing, we are learning, we are growing, we are working towards that. And in this life, when we talk about sin and we talk about maturing in our faith, there is this battle that's between flesh and the spirit that we are going to deal with. We're gonna deal with this battle of flesh and spirit. And I know we wish that there was a, you know, a click that we say, hey, I accepted Jesus at the, and it just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way where there's an immediate, like, I'm never gonna do anything wrong again. I promise you, I've done some dumb stuff. I still do some dumb things. I still make mistakes. I still fall into temptation here and there. I still make those mistakes because I am battling that thing of between flesh and spirit. And we're all battling that. We're all battling that deal. And Paul talks about it in Galatians 5. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposed to each other. They're opposed to each other. They're at war with each other. They're there to keep you from doing the things that you want to do, to keep you from doing those things. The Bible portrays this flesh as a very powerful adversary. It portrays the flesh as something that is very strong, something that is a powerful force that can lead us away from our walk with Christ. But while in doing so, it also portrays this thing of the Holy Spirit, and it emphasizes the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the enemy, to overcome our flesh and produce true spiritual transformation in the life of a believer. See, these works of the flesh that we talk about, they come from a fallen human nature. And our flesh has a natural inclination. It has an appetite. It has something that it wants to continue for us to do. If we are not careful, we will continue to fall back into that sin nature. But we look at the fruit of the Spirit, which is the complete opposite of that. We talk about works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. It's the complete opposite because they have a different source. It has a different source. The Spirit of God works in our lives, produce these fruits of the Spirit to produce the characteristics in our life. And those fruits of the Spirit are what we're talking about all summer. We found in Galatians 5 and 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Every time I've read this, and I've read it multiple times now, studying it and do it, I always pause. And as long as I can remember when I read the scripture, I always have a pause between each one. Because when I think about the fruit of the Spirit is love, my mind goes, what is love? What does that mean? What does this mean? What about joy? What is joy? There's part of me that looks and it says peace. Man, that is, oh, that's amazing. That's a beautiful thought. There's part of it, patience, kindness. And all those things, I pause and I just kind of soak it in just a little bit. Because they're beautiful things that we come along inside of Jesus Christ, of the characteristics that he brings into our life. And these fruits of the Spirit that we're talking about is because of the work of that Holy Spirit that's in our lives. And all of these things that we would talk about, that we read, and we're gonna continue to talk about all summer, all of these things the world is trying to find. Everything in the world, everybody's trying to find joy some way, shape, or form. Whether it's through Jesus or through the new car they just bought. Whether it's through Jesus or that new boat or that new vacation or that new outfit. We're trying to find peace by coming and figuring it out ourselves and do it. We're trying to find patience. We're trying to manufacture all these fruits of the Spirit. The world is somehow trying to manufacture. The thing is no matter what the world does, it will only bring a counterfeit fruit. It will only create a fruit that will quickly rot and quickly decay and quickly become nothing. It will never satisfy what the need you have in your life. It will never satisfy the taste that you have for these fruits that we're talking about. The world will just create a counterfeit and will create something that will not last. That only comes from our daily walk with Jesus Christ. See, the fruit of the Spirit is again, it comes alongside of us and our walking with Jesus daily in what we do. One of the quotes that I read as I was kind of going through this study was this here. It says, the Spirit produces these character traits that are found in the nature of Christ. They are the byproducts of Christ's control. We can't obtain them by trying to get them without his help. If we want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us, if we want these fruit to continue to grow, we must join our life to his. We must know him and love him, imitate him, remember him, and as a result, we'll fulfill the intended purpose of the law, to love God and to love our neighbors. It's a powerful quote in itself, talking about how the traits continue to transform us and how they come alongside with his help as we come alongside him. And how it happens and how that continues to work is through us continuing to follow him and imitate him and grow to be more and more like him. So today we're going to talk about the fruit of peace. We're going to talk about peace today. And I think that's something that we're all trying to find. We're all trying to find peace. I know at 4 or 5 o'clock when I come home from work, I'm trying to find peace. I need some peace to just relax and chill. We're all trying to find peace. And while that kind of a thought process might be a little bit more simpler, but we're all looking for peace. Life is tough. Life deals us some really interesting battles and interesting choices, and we're trying to find peace in all that we do. So the Greek word for peace is irene. And what it means here is that it refers to a state of inner calm and a state of tranquility that comes from a right relationship with God. A right relationship with him. The thing about peace, and we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we talk about it, is the peace is a fruit that's kind of an inward benefit. It's a fruit that is kind of for your benefit. There is peace on the inside. No matter what's on the outside, peace is on the inside. It's an inward fruit that we possess, something that we have on the inside of us. And if we look at peace and that inward fruit, that the peace and the tranquility and the inner calm, when we look at that, we have to say, okay, what's the opposite of peace? What are we kind of fighting against? That's found in hostility. Peace and hostility. We're looking at something that's just wanting to kind of be at odds. And I think that it's interesting that we read about the works of the flesh that over half of them and more than half of them deal with possible conflict among people. When we're looking at the fruit of this, or the works of the flesh, it says enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and things like these, the Bible says. That over half of the things that he talks about are things that are wanting to cause conflict among people, cause conflict among each other, cause conflict among family members, conflict among friends, conflict among with those who you work with, all of these things. This is what the Bible says is we're gonna have to be battling this. And while this isn't an exhaustive list of the works of the flesh, I think it's a great representation of the reality that we deal with, that most of the things that we deal with in life are going to be conflict with other people. They want to take away from that inner calm and that inner tranquility that we have in our beings inside of us, that when we lay our head at night, that we're still worried about the conflict that we have. Now, when we go to work, we're thinking about the conflicts, things that want to take away from the inner calm and the tranquility in our lives. I believe we can all agree that we live in a hostile, aggressive, confrontational, bitter, combative world. We live in a world that is nothing but bitter and angry and hostile. It's not something that is new. It's not new to us. It's not anything that we're just kind of like, oh, now we're at odds against each other. We've been at odds for a long time. If you read scripture, everything is country against country, people group against people group. If you go throughout U.S. history, and I couldn't imagine growing up in the early 1900s with multiple world wars. What was that like? World wars, depression, world war, what was all this so much stuff that was just hostile, just aggressive, something that just wants to steal the peace from everything that's just going on inside. Growing up in the 50s, I just think conflict. That's all my brain wants. It's just a tough time where America is just torn. When we talk about, you know, obviously this July 4th and patriotism, America was in a bitter place. You think 70s, and the only thing they talked about was peace in the 70s. You had hippie vans with tie-dyed paint down the side with a peace sticker. How many of you guys had one? Yeah? Anybody? There's like one, maybe. One. I see you back there. You're like, I did. Just kind of had this. That was me. It's still in the backyard. I still look at it. That's all you think about for the 70s. You're like, you know, just this whole thing, peace. You think about it now, we're still talking about it with political leaders, with musicians and artists, and everything's talking about peace, peace, peace. I was reading through and kind of going through this thing, and I came across these lyrics. There's a Bob Dylan song called Everything is Broken. And here a portion of that. It says, broken bottles, broken plates, broken switches, broken gates, broken dishes, broken parts, streets are filled with broken hearts. Broken words never meant to be spoken. Everything is broken. Seem like every time you stop and turn around, something else just hit the ground. Powerful words. Powerful words spoken and that put into music that I'm obviously not going to sing, but put into music that is trying to tell you, hey, this world is a mess. He's telling you that it's a mess, and political leaders and other artists, and we are always talking about this thing of the mess that we live in. And we can all agree on that. We can all agree that this world is a big mess at times. All the things around us are pushing us towards hostility. Everything is pushing us to a place of hostility, to a place of angst against one another. Seems like every time you turn around, something else just hit the ground. Something else is coming out to attack you. Something else is trying to take away from that peace and that calm and that inner tranquility. We can't seem to just get away from it. We can't get away from that stuff that's all around us. And there are people that are going to agree that we all live in a tough world, but there's different things that we'd agree are the solution. People are always trying to blame this person or that person. We're trying to blame the left, or maybe we're trying to blame the right, We're trying to blame this people group or maybe that people group, or maybe we're trying to blame these people over there. We're trying to blame this situation that was caused by this. We're all blaming and blaming and blaming, and this is the reason why we have this. And we're fighting each other. We're fighting. We're going into that place where there's dissensions and anger and bitterness, and we're fighting and we're fighting, trying to gain peace. And let me tell you, the real issue is not these people or those people or this group or that group. The issue is sin. The reason why we're not at peace is it's sin and separation from God. This world is in a place of hostility because of sin and separation from God. And as Christians, as believers here, we have this thing that we know is the answer. And is what? It's Jesus. The answer to this situation is Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. We know the answer. We have the solution. Well, we live in a world that is going to, again, we're just always against each other. Everything that would want to drag you into a place of hostility and bring your mind into a place, and many of us, so many times, we want to give up. We want to say, hey, this just is what it is. We're just going to live in a world like that. You know what? I'm just going to give up. It's just going to be hostile. It's going to be tough. We're going to, you know, and we kind of just settle in like that's just the way it is. But I want to encourage you that there can be more. I want to encourage you today that there can be more. Again, all the hostility is out among you. Peace is that inner fruit that we talk about. So in the middle of this hostile, aggressive, crazy, messed up world that we live in, where everything seems to be broken, I want to encourage you that we can have peace in a hostile world. You can have peace in a hostile world. Don't give up on trying to obtain peace. Don't give up on looking for peace. Don't give up and just settle into hostility in your life. There can be peace in a hostile world. It's inside of you. It's what's on the inside. It's what's stirring on the inside. You can have peace in that spot. You can have peace in those places. But we're also in a constant battle. We got the hostility and the aggression around us and all the aggression of things in this world. But there's also this constant battle inside of us with anxiety and with worry that would want to steal your peace. And I'm not talking about, you know, any kind of anxiety disorders or clinical issues. I'm not talking about that. We're not going there. There's things that we battle on the inside of us. There's situations, there's disorders. There's all sorts of things that we're all battling in different ways. What I'm talking about is when the enemy would want to come in and just absolutely just rip everything from you and keep you so bound up with anxiety and worry. The enemy wants nothing more than to cloud your mind and to continue to rob every thought, every good thought from your mind, and to steal everything that it can from you, to steal the peace when you lay your head down at night, to steal that peace from you where there's just nothing but anxiety and to worry. And that the enemy would want nothing more than to do that. See, the works of the flesh that we talk about, the works of the flesh that we're kind of, again, opposed to the fruit of the Spirit, it fights completely against everything of inward peace. All the things, the enmity, the strife, the jealousy, the fits of anger, all of those things, they're just at war and at war to take everything from you. So knowing what we know, knowing all the things that we're talking about, knowing that the works of the flesh is out there to try to rob that from you, we must be on guard. We've got to be on guard against what the attack of the enemy. We have to be on guard. We have to be watching what is happening, watching what's going on around us, watching what is there. We must be filled with the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit to allow that to take root in our lives. Not just to be something that just kind of passes and going, but actually take root. That the fruit of the Spirit and the work of the God would actually take root and actually be planted in our life. And to do this, we must be walking with God. To do this, we have to walk with God in every step of the way. Everything that we do, we have to walk with Him. If we're going to allow that fruit to take root, we must be walking with Him. And that looks a lot like just really staying in your Word of God. Staying in your Word. Getting that Word inside of you. Getting all those things inside of you so you can know what's happening. So I'll repeat a quote that I read earlier that kind of says it again in just a beautiful way. It says, the Spirit produces these character traits, produces peace, love, joy. The Spirit produces these character traits. They are the byproducts of Christ's control, our submission and His control in our lives. We can't obtain them, without his help. If we want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our lives, if we want that fruit of the Spirit, if we want peace, joy, love, patience, but today if we want peace to grow and to grow in our lives, we must join our lives to him, to remember him, to imitate him, to act like him, to imitate him in all that we do, to love him in everything that we do, that we act like him in all that we do. And as a result, we'll fulfill the intended purpose of the law, to love God and to love our neighbors. So when we talk about peace, we could talk about quotes all day long. We could read quotes, we could read scripture. There's so many scriptures that talk about peace and that talk about all these things that we're going to be discussing. But I was like, you know what? I can't in no way, shape, or form sit up here and read all of them. You know, we'll be here till dinner time and still have like not even scratched the surface, and you guys will be ready to throw things at me. It would just be difficult. There's so many scriptures that I could just bring 15, 20 and we could just pop through them. But in reality, when I think about it, I think for me in my life, there's just a few scriptures that I keep. There's just a few scriptures that are just, you're kind of tucked away in my pocket, that when things get crazy, that's where I'm going to. I'm going right there because this one says everything. And it's beautiful to read our scriptures and to, you know, continue to just kind of be, you know, fueled and to continue to digest all the things, the beautiful things, as Pastor Casey was exhorting earlier, it's just kind of going through, man, those are great. But I may not remember one of those, you know, next week. You know, I may have forgot, but there's a few that I just kind of keep in my pocket, the scriptures that I want to encourage you guys with today. Things that will encourage us when we're talking about different areas of peace that I'm kind of addressing a little bit in this message. I'm talking about peace and just knowing God, peace in situational struggles, and peace when it comes to our eternity. It talks about that. So we'll start in Romans chapter 15, verse 8. We're talking about peace in believing in him, that his word is true. Let's read it here. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God in his mercy. And he quotes four different scriptures from the Old Testament here. He says, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come. Even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This scripture says a lot of different things. He's talking a lot of different ways. But ultimately, when we look at the beginning, he's saying that Christ came to become a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. That's the reason why Jesus came. He came to show that everything that you've read about, everything that you've heard, everything that was told to the patriarchs is true. Everything. Everything that he did, he came to show the truthfulness so that we would glorify him, and knowing that we would rejoice and we would praise him, for Christ has come to fulfill all the things that he said would happen. So we can trust that the word of God is true because of he has come and he has fulfilled those things. He has fulfilled everything that he said he would do, everything that said would happen. All of these things have come true, and that's the reason why he came. And he's saying, knowing all these things, knowing that this is true, he says, you know, for you to know that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing in him, and believing that all these things are true, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and with all peace, because you believed in all the things that he did and all the things that is true, all the things that he said is there, everything that he promised is true, is there, he's kept. So in doing that, may God fill you with all joy and peace. I don't think Pastor Stephen's been here yet, and he's talking about joy, and I don't want to jump into joy, but it's really hard to take those two things away from each other. joy and peace is hard. He's talking of every one of these scriptures that he read, that he referred to. He tells us to rejoice. I will praise you, to rejoice. Again, rejoice, praise the Lord, rejoice. All of these things that are very tied together, because we have joy in our life, there's usually peace that follows. And we have peace, then we have joy. Those things work hand in hand, and it's actually coming into the scriptures that we're gonna read here next. But I want to encourage you that if you know all these things to be true, and if we believe in him, allow the God of hope to give you and fill you with all joy and all peace, knowing that his word is true, knowing that his promises are true, and their promises are for you are true. When we look at peace and the situational struggles, I think we work around this a lot, but I have to start myself knowing that his word is true, so now we can look at his word. When we go into the struggles of life, and we can look at things like Philippians 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Again, we hear this idea of rejoicing again when we're talking about peace. Verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, when I think about peace, this is the first scripture my mind goes to almost every time. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I run to that scripture. That is where I go. And there's been some times in my life that have been very difficult. Anybody else agree, you know, had one of those moments? Anybody else had some difficult times? I remember I was actually on staff at a church. I was a youth pastor, and life just was tough. Had some really tough blows in my life that really started to kind of sit in me at, gosh, I'm trying to think how old I was. You know, you're getting old when you can't remember how old you were, right? How old? I don't know. Mid-20s, whatever it was. You know, I'm sitting there, and I'm struggling. I'm having a tough time. Life hit me just right across the face. I was struggling. I was trying to figure out who I was. I was trying to figure out what makes Scott tick. You know, what is it inside of? I went through that battle. I was broke. I had no money. I was borrowing a car from somebody because I had nothing. I mean, it was just, you know, day by day, check by check. I mean, the church was good to me, but life was tough, and I had to deal with some things that were going on. And I just was in this moment of me and God had an argument. We had this conversation. And I was really, this conversation was about money, because I was not at peace, because I was just struggling. Every day was a challenge. Every day was, you know, what am I gonna get? What's gonna happen here? I was not at peace, and I was mad. I was angry. I was frustrated. I'm working at a church. I'm giving my life to God. I used to work in the tobacco fields as a kid, and I'd put that money in the tithe plate, and I was preaching to God, talking about tithing. We were having a heyday together in the car driving down the road. It was fun. A little sarcasm in that. I was just having a tough time, and I just began to talk to God. And God simply said these words to me, how much is your peace worth? And I stopped. Dead in my tracks, driving down the road, I stopped. I said, thank you. Because I knew in the middle of the chaos of my life, I knew in the middle of all the things that were going on that I never thought I would go through in life, that I never thought that I would have to deal with, there was peace on the inside. Yeah, there was moments of stress, there were moments of tough times, there were moments of difficulties, there were some really, really extremely difficult times. But there was peace on the inside. I didn't worry about money anymore. The money didn't matter. The money didn't matter. It didn't matter if I had to eat noodles and hot dogs or whatever the case might be. It didn't matter at that point because there was peace on the inside. So when I look at scripture, this is the God I know. This is the God that I know. This is the God that I've experienced in my life, the God that the peace that passes all understanding. This is the God that I know. Anybody else know that one? Yeah. I never would have made it. And we could sing songs and do all sorts of stuff. I wouldn't have made it without that peace. So when I think about the peace of God through the midst of struggles, I go here. the one that passes all understanding, the one that passes everything that nobody can understand what I was going through at the moment. But the peace that passes all understanding was in my heart. And when Paul wrote this, he envisions God and he envisions this peace as a soldier that would guard your hearts and they would guard your mind. But we have to do our part. We have to follow this guide of rejoicing and to not be anxious with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. We have to follow through that. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding would guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say a little bit in the next verse, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard in me, practice these things. And what? The God of peace will be with you. The God of peace. He's telling us to not be anxious. He's telling us not to do that, that the peace of God would guard our hearts. And then he's telling us, hey, you know what? You have to guard your mind. To guard your mind, whatever's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's anything excellent, think on these things. So I would tell you today, when life is rough, when life gets difficult, what is your thought life looking like? What's your thought life looking like? We all are going to think things. We're all going to have that moment of time when I'm angry at God and talking about you. I don't have this. There's moments where I'm going to have some rough times, but what is my thought life looking at? Am I going to entertain that or am I going to resist that? That's the choice that we have. We have the choice that we're going to either entertain or that we're going to resist that. So we can't expect the Holy Spirit to come alongside us when the peace and when our thought life is just a wreck. When our thought life is just simply entertaining every single thing that would come about, if we're not thinking on these things that are true, honorable, just, pure, and lovely, if we're not thinking on these things, then we can't expect the Holy Spirit just to go, we're gonna eliminate it, we're gonna zap all his mind and thoughts to be this. We have to be able to resist those things. So what is your thought life looking like? When life gets rough, what's your thought life? I encourage you to come back to this scripture. It's where knowing the scripture and knowing what God's telling you about your life is so important. Whatever is pure. So what is pure? What are the things that Jesus is talking about? What are the things here? Whatever's true. When the enemy wants to tell you things that all sorts of things that aren't true, you have to think about the things that are true. Dwell on those things. And he says, whatever you've received or seen or heard, practice these things. That's why it's important, I think, to be in part of a community, a faith-based community. What the things you've been heard, what the things you've been told, what the things you've been taught, practice these things. What a commentary said it this way. While believers live in this world, they face constant tension between their old sinful nature and what the Holy Spirit wants. The Holy Spirit in us guarantees our future total redemption and change. And though we have new life in Christ, we still have a mind and body prone to rebel and enticed by sinful desires. We must resist those desires. We have to resist the desire. We have to resist those thoughts. We have to resist all those things and think upon these things. Finally, we talk about peace, you know, that for all the knowing that God is true, that his word is true, we can have peace and rest in his word. We can have peace in the situational struggles of our life, that we would not be anxious, that we would think upon these things, but we can have peace for our place in eternity. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 12, says it this way. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off in verse 17, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father, so that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. See, at one point in time in our lives, we were separated from Christ. We were separated from God, and we had no hope living without him. We had nothing. There was no peace for eternity. There was no peace and rest for us. There was a place where we were simply separated. But he came, he preached peace. He came and he preached peace. He died on a cross that we might have peace. So that now that we have a place that we can call home, that he is our peace, that we are no longer strangers, but we are fellow citizens with him, that we have access to God through him, that we can have peace in our lives, that we can have peace in our moments, that we can have peace, that we have an eternity with him. See, I don't have to worry about my eternity. I don't have to worry about a place that I will spend the rest of my life. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to be anxious about that because I know Jesus. Because I've accepted Jesus in my life, and he says it, that we have become citizens and saints and the members of the household of God. We can have peace in that. So in closing, let me share you a couple of quick takeaways for you to take home with you. But first, let me say it this way. For those of you in the house that you say, listen, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I know Jesus. I want to encourage you with this. You've been made right with God. We are searching and we have found peace. We are to be an invitation to the broken world of what can happen when Jesus deals with the broken. That is part of who you are. It's part of the mission statement to go into the world. We're to be an invitation to the broken world around us of what can happen when Jesus deals with the broken that was inside of me. The broken that of who I was. I was broken, I was messed up, I had a lot of things wrong. There's still things that we're still dealing with, but Jesus has brought peace into my life. Jesus has brought peace where there was no other way to obtain peace. There is peace that's in my life, and we're to be an invitation to this broken world. Everybody around us, we should be inviting them to find the Prince of Peace in their life. There can be peace in a hostile world. There can be peace when everything around us is getting crazy. We can have healing from anxiety, from worry, from fear. And we can have peace knowing that one day we will be with Jesus. One day we will call heaven home and we can rest in that peace. So to keep doing that, we must do these things. I'm sure there are more, but here are the four that I run to. Number one, we must rejoice. Rejoice. All scriptures, those scriptures we were reading, and if you continue to read scripture, it talks about rejoice. That's to have joy in something, an extreme thanksgiving. In all that we do, that we would rejoice. And again, rejoice. And again, rejoice. And again, rejoice. He says it over and over and over again. Sometimes we repeat things because we can't remember them. In this case, we're placing emphasis on it. Rejoice. In all things, rejoice. Allow joy to be stirred up. Give thankfulness for all the things that we have. In the midst of struggles, rejoice. Number two, guard your hearts. Guard your hearts. Guard the things that you would love. Guard the things that you would place some strong things on. Guard the things that would want to take place in your life and take root in your life, and something that you would now maybe consider lovely, that you like, man, I really love this thing. I'm not going to give it up. Guard those things. There's some things you might need to give up. There's some things that you might need to let go of, the things that want to attach themselves to you. Guard your hearts. The enemy of this world is coming to attack that and to take that peace and rob you of that. Guard your hearts, the things that you might not let go of. Guard your minds, number three. Guard your minds. The enemy would want to take you from anxiety and from fear. Guard your minds. You are going to think thoughts. Yes, you're going to have some tough times. There are going to be things that you're going to think about, but guard your hearts. You have an opportunity to either entertain it or resist it. I'm going to resist, and I'm going to think on things that are true, that are lovely. These are the things. What about that, Scott? Nope. I'm thinking on things that are true, that are lovely. These are the things I'm going to think about. Guard your hearts. Guard your mind. In Philippians, we read that God would come alongside you and do that. Again, this is where we walk together with Jesus Christ. We walk together with him. Sometimes there's probably some thoughts that he's helped keep me from thinking. But you've got to guard your hearts and guard your minds. And lastly, to understand your dependence for him. Understand your dependence for him. We can't make it without him. We can't get through the situations without him. There is no peace without him. Everything else is just counterfeit. Everything else is just manufactured. There is no peace without God. He brought peace on the cross. He sustains us in peace, and we will have eternal peace with him. We can only do that with him. And to do so along with all these fruits that we've talked about all summer, we must cultivate the fruit in our lives. We must continue to cultivate it. I love the analogy that the scripture uses in talking about fruit. I grew up on a farm. I know what it takes to get that fruit. You have to cultivate it. You have to till the soil. You have to fertilize it. It just doesn't come to the vine naturally without anything typically. It usually needs stuff. It usually needs water. It needs sunlight. You don't see fruit just growing in a cave necessarily. It's just a cave. You see fruit that's growing from all the things around it that is helping to produce that in its life. The fruit's growing because it's got the sunshine, it's got the rain, it's got the fertilizer, it's got all the things, all that things around it is helping that fruit to grow. So today I want to encourage you to do your part. Do your part. Guard your heart, rejoice, guard your minds, and depend on him in all that you do. Would you stand with me? Today it's a lot of stuff. We talk about peace because it's such a, it's the hostility. And we're all facing that. And today I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that God would help us to do these things, to rejoice, to guard our hearts, to guard our minds, and to depend on him. And there may be some people in this room that you say, listen, I've never accepted the God of peace in my life. And I just want to pray for you as well. That God would come alongside you, that you would accept him as your Lord and Savior, and you allow the God of peace to rest in your hearts. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your people today. I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is true, that your promises are true, that everything that you said you would do and you've done. And I thank you that we can trust in you. And I can thank you that you will guard our hearts and you will guard our minds and you will fill us with all hope, with all joy, with all peace. And I'm thankful that you died on a cross that we might have life and life more abundantly here, and yet even more so that we would have a life of peace in heaven with you. Father, I pray that you would touch your people today. Those in this house that are struggling, God, I pray that you would let peace fill their hearts. They're having some tough situations. They don't really know their way out. Father, you would help them to think on these things, the things that are true, that are lovely. You would help them to resist the enemy. You would help them to resist the thoughts and to let go of the things that they would have attached themselves to guard their hearts. Father, help us in all things to understand that we need you. Without you, we can do none of this. Without this, we can do nothing. Without this, it just doesn't work. We need you. Father, for those who are in this house and for those of you that are here that you don't know Jesus, I'd ask you just to invite you, just a simple prayer. It doesn't have to be this exact one, but something similar that says, dear Jesus, I need you. I believe that you died on a cross and rose again. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.